Paul was terribly sad news to hear yesterday that all was not well with John Adams, and then we heard this morning that he had died overnight. And it's the end of an amazing life in racing and jumps racing and a multi-roled life as well as an author, historian and administrator. And one of his great mates was John Rothfield, a.k.a. Dr. Turf, who even co-authored a book with John Adams. And Turfy joins me to pay tribute to our great mate, John Adams. G'day, Turf.
Yes, Matty, I am, and thanks for those words. And he was just a ripping bloke and a man of many trades as well, Matt. You know, we knew him best, I guess, in the racing industry as an administrator in a way. Jumps Racing had some particularly difficult times in recent times, and really he was at the forefront of rejuvenating and reinvigorating the game. I think the current state of Jumps Racing, which is in a pretty healthy state, you know, is partly responsible to the work that guys like John and others did back in the day when it was under severe pressure.
Well, and he was a very brave and courageous man himself who endured physical disability, it's fair to say. He was wheelchair-bound, but had always been so upbeat and optimistic about life and the sport that he championed, that as you say, had gone through some crossroads in its life. This is what Eric Musgrove, one of his great mates, said: without John's intervention in the late 70s and early 80s, jumping racing may well have ceased. His relentless protective inventiveness made racing administrators think twice about jumps racing, and his Australia versus Ireland initiatives, interstate jumping races, and concepts such as the Gallery of Champions both defended and promoted jumps racing. Jumps participants owe John a deep debt of gratitude. So there have been periods in history where jumps racing needed someone brave and courageous, because it did have to withstand a lot of backlash, didn't it, through John's era?
Oh, no doubt about that, really. When you look at some of his innovations, and Eric sort of alluded to them, that Irish Jumping Series, which was John's idea, was a fantastic initiative. It was so big at the time. If you remember, Moonee Valley became Moonee O'Valley.
Yep.
The Irish jump jockeys all came out here, a number of them, not just one or two, maybe half a dozen of them. And the Australian jump jockeys also toured Ireland, and John administered all of this from his wheelchair. He went with them. I actually met him because of, I think it was some sort of fateful surgery that had seen him wheelchair-bound after that particular back operation. I'd met him doing a fundraiser for him to raise money to buy a car for him that he could get around in, which, of course, he needed, being so involved in horse racing and other sports. You know, he was also involved. In fact, a mate of mine used to play cricket with him, I think, for Northcote, one of the amateur sort of teams back in the day. He was a keen sportsman. And he never lost his love of cricket and sport. He was involved in local politics, and he did it all from the wheelchair, and really seeing him having to get around at racetracks, which was never all that wheelchair friendly. The fact that he had to drive everywhere and get in and out of that little car, you know, the difficulties faced. And I'm only saying this because lots of other people, disabled people, experience exactly the same thing. But I honestly don't believe that bloke ever complained. I never heard him complain in my life.
Well, he had too much to do. I mean, he was for 28 years, the chief executive officer of the Jumps Racing Association. He was secretary of the Australian Trainers Association, the Victorian branch from 1979 to 87.
Yes, he was.
History of Jumps Racing Over the Hurdles. And then this book that he found some rapscallion to help him along the way with this, and it was called Great Australian Sports Rorts. What was this collaboration all about?
Well, let me say another string to his bow was that he was a wonderful amateur historian. He also wrote a book on the history of Australian bookmaking, and also the book on jumps racing, the history of jumps racing, and that little thing that John and I did together, which was a book on sports rorts. And the interesting thing about that was that he was involved in all of the rorts, so we weren't allowed to put him in the book. Because they were in the days of jumps racing back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, you know, there wasn't much money around for the jockeys in those days. And it's fair to say the odd nefarious deed took place. to try and get a quid out of the game for them, and John seemed to be a part of it. It just reminds me of, he virtually lived in the State Library, where he would, go through all those old microfilms and, all the available data on reprints of newspapers from the Argus and back in the 1800s and so forth. And of course, he got involved because he was never happy with the parking facilities for the disabled outside the State Library there in the city. And he got that change. he fought a lot against things like, disabled people and the amount of aisle space that they would have in offices and restaurants and city department stores. And he was always fighting for rights and for what, to help people like himself. So he was just relentlessly working, creating, helping. He was just that sort of bloke. And he did it the whole time with a smile on his face and never blued. Never blued about himself. He blued with people. By jingo, you didn't want to get on the wrong side of him. There's plenty of racing administrators. Gee whiz, Matt, I remember when that fateful day at Warrnambool, I remember being in the mounting car with Rodney Ray when the so-called Minister for Racing, Rob Hulls, decided to cease jumps racing forthwith. If John could have got out of his wheelchair, he would have strangled him. He would have killed him there and then on the spot. There's plenty of racing administrators who never like to cross paths with John, that's for sure.
If Rob Hulls' body had been found with thin tyre marks all over, we would have been able to trace the perpetrator. I think for me, just as we wind it up, Turfy, it was the love of history and the reference point that he was. And you mentioned that he spent a lot of time in the State Library. When an idea was floated 6 months ago to resurrect picnic racing in the Western Districts, it's amazing how little archived information there is. I rang John Adams, and it's almost like I set him alight. It was Birriggara had it, Colac had it. You want to talk to so-and-so and so-and-so, and we spoke about Jock MacArthur's Menengort Cup that came and went because the stewards cracked down on the drunk jockeys and things like that. So, he was just this tap into history that very few others were up to speed about as much as he was. But there was so much more to John Adams, who was a legend of the game. Funeral details will, of course, become apparent, and a lot of people will be very keen to tap into that as well. And I'm sure that whether it's Warrnambool or the Jumps Racing Association or whoever it is will come up with something to properly commemorate the great John Adams.
I'm pretty sure it won't be a maiden hurdle. It's got to be a feature jumps race. I'm sure will be named in his honour, in due course. And a lot of people in the industry who may not have known him, certainly owe him a debt of gratitude for the strong state of not just jumps racing, but racing in particular. He loved the game like no other. And I could always speak to him late at night, Matt, because he was always up laying favourites on Betfair on English jumps racing. So. And potting South African racing mercilessly.
And if he had a dream, I think it would have been to see the vinery over the bridge up and down the hill jumps course at Yarra Valley resurrected. And hopefully if that ever occurs, then maybe that might be something that we can attach John Adams' name to. Hey, good on you, Turf. Lovely words. Thanks very much for that. And look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thanks, Matty. Cheers, mate. Bye.